prayer request list. Remember Mary Beth Keller, and then Jonice Duncan, Sister Donna Faye, Sister Nims back, Sister Mary Jane and her daughter Diane, Grady Freeman Jr., Brother Don's neighbor will have surgery. Remember that. Sister Jean, also her brothers Roy and Pete Campbell, Lonnie London, Serena, Brother Gary and Sister Pam, Archie. And so remember those, and then my brother Scott, and then remember the Bruce Robertson family in your prayers. Any others tonight? Also, seeing you remember Sister Kay, she's got her cataract surgeries. Any others? All right, if not, stand with us tonight and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, this evening, Lord, we thank you so much for all your love, for all your mercy, for all your grace. Thank you, dear God, for allowing us to be in here tonight, Lord. Father, we pray that your will would be done and your name be glorified. Lead us, dear God, ever closer to thee and one to another, precious Lord. I pray, Father, give us the strength that we need in our hearts and minds, dear God. Father, I pray that you just give us clarity of all of our thoughts, dear Lord. Father, we pray tonight that you just touch, Lord, the need according to your plan and will and purpose and help us to accept that. Father, we pray tonight that you just help us in the service. Let everything we do, Father, be for thee. And we'll give you glory for it. Father, we'll praise you for it in Jesus' holy name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Go ahead and turn your red book to page
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh. righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
All right, go ahead and turn to page 290. Page 290. Page 177, page 177.
Thank you.
ahead and flip the page to page 178.
Anybody else?
Thank you.
Anybody else? Thinking about some stuff me and Ned was talking about today and different things. So tonight, I guess we'll sing this one kind of for Ned. Mm-hmm. The old gospel ship. Thank you. think I'm saving the list of Brother Reg Kelly's. I was thinking about some of the things he said the other day about the perfect marriage, 10 things to a perfect marriage. And so I'll save that for Dad's Day if I do use that. But if not, we won't worry about it, right? If you would, tonight, let's go over to the book of Matthew. And I did not look up what I needed to. You'll give me just a second here. Internet signal over at the building is not too good, so I wrote down my thoughts, but I forgot to write down all of my scriptures. So let me find this real fast. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 is where I'm going to start. That's these others that I'm wanting to find real quick that if you'll bear with us tonight, we'll find them. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And we'll hold that one where it's at. I got a new thought on this. I say a new thought, I guess maybe a new way of looking at this. And I told Netta this afternoon, and this was part of what I had this morning. And I was trying to figure out if it was something for me only or for me to share. And I think the facts that the more we talked about it, the more I begin to realize for me first, then for you afterwards to share. And so we're going to look at this verse of Scripture. If you would, go ahead and stand with us. We're going to read the verse, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I know I've used this a bunch, but I want you to think about this thing for a second. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. There's two things there. After righteousness, for they shall be filled. Father, tonight we thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Ask you, dear God, again to help us, Father, through thy word. Let it be, dear God, to our hearts and minds a sweet savor, dear God, a sweet challenge, Lord, a sweet guidance, dear God. Lord, sweet thought. May it be in our lives, Lord, ever perfecting us, dear God, drawing us closer to you. Father, helping us through this world that we're living in and the day and hour that we're in. And so, Lord, I pray tonight, Father, just your will be done, your name be glorified, and we'll give you glory, Father, in Jesus' holy, holy name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated this evening. I want you to think about this tonight, if you would, for just a moment with me. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And you know, I've preached about the hunger and the thirst that we have in this life and the things that we think about there. But something different come to my mind whenever I thought about this, because see, I was thinking about the old paths and the old ways, and I was thinking about the days whenever we would go to church, and I remember I was thinking real hard about it this morning that Brother Dan Lombard was our song leader over at the Bentonville Free Will Baptist Church, and he would stand. We didn't have a grand piano over there. We had an upright piano. It wasn't the old ones, but it wasn't, you know. It was just a simple piano over there. And Brother Dan, he would stand there at that piano, and he'd have one elbow on the piano a lot of times, helping him hold the songbook. And then behind him was Brother Danny, Netta's uncle, and he was playing the bass. And sometimes we had guitar players and different ones there. And then we had drum playing. Stevie played drums for us a little bit, and then Derek played drums for us, and just those different things there. But then there was a few folks who'd stand up there in the choir, and they would sing. And we had the old blue songbook, and we've got one of them around here somewheres. And we had that one, and we had another one, a little red one, I think it was. And we just sung songs out of those all the time. We never worried about how often we sung the song. We never worried about, if somebody sung it as a special or didn't sing it as a special, whatever it was. It was just, we just got up and we just praised God through song. That was the thought. You know, worship God in truth and spirit, the Bible says. And so we did. And we had services at the time that were, I would think, I'll be honest with you, that we miss them today. Again, back in the early 1990s and stuff, all I knew was what was going up on in Northwest Arkansas in Bentonville at the Bentonville Free Will Baptist Church and some of the little country churches around there. And like I said this morning, if I never preached a word, but the Spirit of God had its way and we sung songs and the altars flooded, that would be an awesome service to me. I can remember seeing that on more than one occasion. I can remember seeing the times when the services would like I've said before, just the things that maybe Sunday school didn't happen because one of the brothers would get up and just start preaching. Or you walk into a service and the pastor would walk back there and say, hey, you got a message on your heart tonight. And you would just sit there and just let God be God and let God have his way. And the things that happened were so, in my opinion, so awesome and so good, so wonderful, that it was just, it was service. It was worship. It was what going to church was supposed to be about. It was a time when God was the one who directed everything. And the people were just part of what God was doing. And I miss those. And I know tonight, and I may be preaching to a few of us here, but the truth of the matter is this. I know that somebody besides myself has to wonder, what happened to that time? Where did that go? How did it all change? Why did it change? When did people start looking for new things and new ways? It just seems like over the last 30 years, you didn't think about it then, but things begin to change. It was probably more along the end of the 1990s when I began to realize just how much things were starting to change. I was probably part of what was happening at the time because I thought to myself, you know, if this happens or this takes place or we do this or we do that, we're going to get folks to come to church. And the truth of the matter is this, we started leaning so much on other things to get folks in the church doors that we stopped leaning on God. We started thinking that if we have the new group or the new songbook or the new Bibles or the new screens or the new lighting, the new whatever, the new paint, the new buildings, and people would come. Started focusing so much on the new stuff, we lost sight of the good stuff. We lost sight of God. Going to church these days in a lot of places and stuff is about how much money you're bringing in. Churches are trying to figure out new ways to have income so they can maintain those facilities that they build. It's crazy to me. And I know we're not there yet, and I say yet because, you know what, I'm here, and as long as I'm here, I will stand between that as much as I can. But I'm astonished how many folks call me and say, Brother Arnie, can we come to your church? Would you like to have us at your church? We're filling up now. We're booking for this time and this time. And we've got our new album out, and we want you to be the first ones to be able to get it. Now, do you want to come to my church so you can sing and glorify God, or do you want to come to my church so you can sell your new CD? Now, think about this for just a second, church. In the old day, when evangelists came, even they came and they sang, and some of them were related to. Nettie is, and her side of the family on the second hand, I don't know, twice, I don't know how it is, but they're family. But they came and they worshiped and they served God and they evangelized and we had people saved. Altars would flood. But today when singers or evangelists come to your church, a lot of times they come and they got their new CDs, they got their new shirts, they got their new wristbands, they've got their new flags, I don't know. They got all kinds of merchandise with them. What happened to having the power of God? What happened to just having the mindset that we're not having to go to church, we're getting to go to church? I don't have to show up. I get to show up. We're not trying to, and I'll say this, a lot of churches, they sing the songs, they do the things they do, trying to make people feel the Spirit. You didn't have to conjure the Spirit at that time because you brought Him in the door with you. Matthew chapter 5, I begin to think about this. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Brother Reg Kelly preached a message, not about this, but about fasting here a while back. And I was listening to that, and I was thinking, boy, yeah, we need to do some fasting. And it hit me today. Blessed are they which do pray and fast. Hunger and thirst. Fasting and prayer. Where do you get that from, Brother Ernie? Think about this. When Jesus was on the mount, the Bible says He was 40 days and 40 nights. He neither eat nor drank anything. And yet when He come off the mount, He met Satan face to face. He come up out of the wilderness and here's Satan face to face, tempting Him. And He used the Word of God to send Him on His way. It is written. It is written. It is written. I thought about Noah or Moses and got the two. Jesus come out of the wilderness. Moses was on the mount. What happened when he come off the mountain 40 days and 40 nights? The first time God told him, He said, "Get thee down from here." They're down there sacrificing. They're making idols and they're doing things that ought not be done. And he goes down there. He has the tablets, the law of God. He breaks those. He casts down there. But while he's there, he has to intercede for the people so God doesn't destroy them all. And then he goes up again. What do we remember about Moses' mountain transfiguration? That he had to hide his face for the brightness of God that was on him because it scared the people. Think about that for a second. What do you think Moses came off the mountain with? A body full of righteousness. Not his, but God's. He was full. He led the people. He did the things that needed to be done. He wasn't perfect. But in the end, hey, God is the one who took time to bury Moses. Who's going to bury you? Who's going to bury me? You say, Brother Ernie, it just don't happen like it did then. Who says it doesn't? It's just we don't know about it when it happens. You ever thought about folks who disappear? And I know that's a bad thing today. We look at it as a tragic thing. And it is. But you ever think sometimes some folks disappear because God buries them? Something happens. An event that takes place. Whether it's somebody been walking with the Lord a long time. Maybe they just got saved and God knew that if He left them here, things would be in trouble. And He just went ahead and took them home. I know that you and I tonight probably think, man, if God took me home when I got saved, it would have been a whole lot easier than what it is now. The problem is if God takes everybody out when they get saved, nobody would be here to lead somebody else to the Lord. And whilst we're here, we're supposed to be doing that very thing, showing people how to worship, how to follow, how to love, how to magnify and glorify God, how to show up for Him, how to be present, you know, how to wait on Him, to listen to Him. I'm just here tonight to say the reason that we've lost that kind of service is not because God has moved or changed, but because I believe we've quit praying and fasting. We pray and fast only for what we want, never for what we need. You say, Brother Ernie, you don't, I'm not like that. Well, maybe you're the ones that are doing what you're doing, and it's causing God to talk to me the way He's talking. But I've thought about this. The power of the church is no longer the Spirit of God. It's how can we move people? How can we move them? I'll honestly tell you something that I can remember growing up in my younger years and starting off. Nobody ever moved me. God did. God did. I'd be sitting in the pew and I would feel the Spirit of God start tugging my heart. Whether it was to stand up and to shout or get up and to sing or to testify or to preach, it was always God doing it. It was nobody else. I felt when the presence of God was there and real. I knew it. I think about times in my own life and I'm just sharing what I know about me but I can think of times when we'd get up to sing a song and the next thing you know, we would either be preaching or we would be in the altar because God had moved. Not me, God had moved. Or somebody else singing a song and the next thing you know, the altars were flooded because God moved. The amazing thing was, is most of the time those folks weren't singing a new song, wasn't carrying a new Bible. They wasn't a surprise evangelist or they were just people in the church who did what the Spirit of God told them to do, and when they'd done it, things happened. The book of Matthew in the 17th chapter. The disciples of the Lord. Jesus had sent them out. They're supposed to be working works and doing things, you know. But there was a certain young man, a boy who was vexed with the Spirit, the Bible says. In chapter 17, verse 14, it says, "And when they were come to the multitude, they came a certain man, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic, and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. These are the disciples. They'd already been healing people. They'd already been doing miracle works. Why couldn't we do this? Because of your unbelief. I wonder how much unbelief is in the generation of folks who are alive today when it comes to truly seeing the miracle workings of God. When it comes to seeing folks truly being born again, the church, they're no longer, and I say this carefully, we do not see people being saved the way that they used to get saved. Instead, today, people are having what they call spiritual awakenings. Or they wake up one morning and say, well, I knew I had to do something different. Churches are not filled up because folks are saved today. They transfer, they're floaters. There's three churches in a little place over east of Fayetteville there in Durham. Three churches up on the hillside. And depending on how mad the people are one Sunday will determine whether or not they're at this church, or they're at this church, or they're at this church. The pastor said the other evening, he said, they just circle around. They get mad here, they go there. They get mad here, they go there. They get mad there, they go back to where they were. An amazing thing that's happening. Church hoppers. Doesn't make any sense to me. But Jesus told him, because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall not say to the mountain, or ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. The faith of a mustard seed, we've heard that talked about I don't know how many times in our life, a little bitty old thing. But you can't cross it. You plant it, you get a mustard seed plant. Yet it grows into a tree. And you harvest from it what? Mustard seed. If you had pure, absolute, undenying, growing faith. In verse 21 he says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. I'm going to tell you for a fact tonight that in the day there was a whole lot of church folks who did a lot of prayer and fasting. They were like Job's. Maybe it is that my family has sinned, or maybe it is that my family's lost needs to be saved. Maybe it is that our church needs revival. And they didn't wait till nobody was there to start thinking about a revival. They started thinking about it just as soon as the last one ended. I can remember even when I come down here first, but best space back in that day, 24-hour prayer services. Somebody'd go to church, they'd lock themselves in the church for an hour or two, whatever it was, their call, and they did it for 24 hours for I don't know how long. Somebody'd come in and relieve them. Somebody'd go out. Somebody'd come in and relieve them. They'd go out. They'd go back and forth. Pastor would call for fasting and people would sign up to participate. Just wanted to be part of it. Today we talk about fasting and everybody immediately thinks that I'm saying you got to go on a diet. In the book of Jeremiah, it's kind of a long ways into this, but they'd got off the beaten path. Things weren't what they ought to have been. And the Lord says this in Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Ask for them. We don't ask for them because we don't miss them. I do. I miss them. There's a picture on the wall at the house. Mariah made it. If I'm not mistaken, her and Ned had put it together. It's a collage picture that spells out. What does it spell out? I forgot. Daddy? I wanted to say Dad, but I... One of those pictures is me preaching here. And I don't know... Well, I know what happened. I know why. I just was... God was good and all over me and in me. And I was just letting him have his way. But I'm going through the middle aisle there. And I can remember that Sunday. Singing and walking and preaching. I oftentimes stop and ask myself, what did you do, Ernie? I'll be honest with you, this morning got here. I was kind of torn between these two thoughts. And as I was sitting up here and waiting for song service, and then in between song and the preaching service, and I told Netta this afternoon, I said, I seriously thought, this is it, I'm done. It's over for me here at the church. I said, doesn't seem like anybody's moving. Doesn't seem like anybody thinks about these things or misses these things. God said again, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. And I realized that the food that you got to have is spiritual food. And then the next thought that I got was, you can't give them what you don't got. I'm asking God for the old paths. Because the rest of it says, where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. The sad part of it is the response the children of Israel have to this is that they say, we will not walk therein. And the question to you and I tonight, will we or will we not walk therein? Will we not seek out the old paths? Where is the good way? Will we hunger and thirst after righteousness? Will we pray and fast to be filled with the things of God? Will we ask for the old paths? Or do we think it's so far out of our reach or so far stretched or it's no longer good? So we're not willing to go back there. I remember a time when people left the church after having been in a service and they didn't figure out where the closest bar was. It wasn't about what we could do this week before we had to go back to church Sunday and try to act all fresh, holy, and mighty. Folks were troubled by sin. Today we're numb to it. The Bible says, seared with a hot iron, there's no feeling any longer. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, I've not reached that point and do not want to. And it scares me to think about getting close to it. But the longer we go without true worship and true desire to serve God, the longer we go without a moving of the Spirit that causes folks to go to the altars, that the more danger we're in. Too numb. I don't want that to happen. But it's happening. And the only way it's going to get changed is if we go back to the old paths and the old ways and we walk therein. And our hearts and minds are about what God can do with us. What God will do with us. Go ahead and stand this evening. Blessed Father, tonight, Lord, we come before You. God, knowing that we need You more than we've ever realized. God, more than we can comprehend. I'm afraid, God, we don't even realize how far off we are. Lord, it scares me to think that I'm that way. Father, tonight I pray, Lord, help us to see clearly. Help us to understand clearly. Dear God, I pray tonight, put it in our hearts and our minds, dear Lord, to get back to the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. Father, help us to be hungry and thirsty. Help us to pray and to fast. Lord, I ask You, Father, these things in Christ's holy name. And amen.